All right. This is Sunday morning, October the 16th, 2022. And today, we are on lesson two, amen, of our lesson series. It's the new lesson series. I'm excited. It took us 2 weeks to get through lesson one. But you know what? I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed teaching it. Today, I picked the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, because I think that may go along and be a reminder for you on our lesson today. It's a lesson entitled, The Demanding Despot's Dream. The Demanding Despot's Dream. And I'll explain that here in just a few minutes. But this is the second chapter of the book of Daniel. And King Nebuchadnezzar, that tyrant, that he was like a dictator king. He was a very authoritative, despotic. That's what that means, okay? King and ruler. And he was the ruler of Babylon. They besieged Jerusalem and took the king and everybody there captive. And as you remember last week, we began with Daniel, how that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. And if you remember, all that came up in a situation where Daniel had to make a choice. And you and I have choices to make today, do we not? As believers, as Christians, we have choices that we've got to make. We've got to choose who we're going to serve. A little saying goes, only two choices on the shelf, serving God or serving self. That's the only two choices that we've got in this old world. Now, today's lesson, the Bible said here, our theme verse is from Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. The Bible said, and he, speaking of God, he changeth the times and the seasons, and he removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Now, I normally, every Sunday, I give just a one-thought summary of what that lesson would entail. And this week, I was reading in the book of Proverbs, and this verse came to my mind, and it kind of sums up the whole lesson. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. And here's what the Bible said. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Get understanding. The book of Proverbs is a tremendous book of wisdom. And I would encourage you, if you could, take every day, just take a chapter in the book of Proverbs, like today, being October the 16th. Read the 16th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Tomorrow will be chapter 17. One chapter for every day of the month. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And there is something that you can draw from in the book of Proverbs every day. You can draw from God's infinite wisdom and his guidance. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6, there's a verse that describes our lesson in its entirety today. And here's what it said. It said, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. In other words, every man's going to, boy, they're going to tell you how great they are. Boy, they're going to proclaim their own goodness. But listen to the second part of the verse. But a faithful man, who can find? You know what? Above all things, God is looking for faithfulness. And in the book of Daniel, you're going to see how that faithfulness is exhibited even in times of heartache and trouble and just disappointment. And you're going to see how that God blesses those that are faithful. God blesses faithfulness. In Daniel chapter 2, we're going to see how that King Nebuchadnezzar had experienced a very disturbing dream. He'd had a very disturbing dream. And now on at least two occasions, he had dreamed this dream. And he was very troubled with it. It troubled his heart. It troubled his mind. And the hardest thing for him was, he knew that the dream had troubled him, but the longer he went, the dream just disappeared. You ever notice that? I get up in the morning sometimes and I dream about something all night long. It seems like I'm dreaming all night long. They say you're only dreaming for just a few minutes or seconds, and it seems like it's forever. And then I get in the bathroom, I'm thinking about that dream, and all of a sudden I go in there, I get ready to take a shower, and I can't even remember what I dreamed about. But I knew it was something that I needed to be mindful of. And so I try to make a note or something about what I was dreaming about and just thinking about the people I was thinking about. I was telling my wife this morning some folks that were just on my heart, and I was dreaming about them last night. And just, I don't know what the situation is. I had that the other day. Come to find out, the guy had had a heart attack and didn't even know he had been sick. And just thinking about him. But anyway, the king had a very troubling dream. And he was burdened about this thing in his heart. But he had no one to talk to. You know, here's the thing, folks. When the lost world is in trouble because they have no one to talk to, they have no one that can give them answers to the problems that they're having in life, they need somebody that knows Jesus to direct them to the right source of help. And you know what? The Lord God placed Daniel and those other three kinsmen there of his friends, God placed them there for a purpose. And you're going to see that in the lesson today. He sought the earthly wisdom of all of his enchanters and his wisest men. He sought the wisdom of his magicians, his astrologers, those sorcerers, and even the Chaldeans who were at that time, they were very devoted to the occult arts and secret sciences. But as you're going to see in the lesson today, nobody was able to help him. Nobody could divulge the content of his dream, let alone interpret it. And he was very troubled with all this. So after many requests by the king from these supposed wise men, if you'll look in chapter 2 here, verse number 5, the king finally told them all here. He says, "If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill." And go down to verse number 12. After none of those supposed wise men were able to tell the king about his forgotten dream or even interpret it to him, the Bible says that the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Now, buddy, he must have really been upset about this. Number one, he was upset because he couldn't remember the dream. Number two, he was upset because he didn't know what the dream meant, and he was very superstitious about these dreams. And number three, all of those men around him that he had placed his faith and trust in were unable to help him. Let me remind you of something today, folks. I had somebody this week that told me they didn't go to church anymore because men had let them down. Men had said one thing and done something else. And so he saw not a good reason to go to church. And I went to him and I just put my arm around him and I said, "Let me remind you of something. My pastor always teaches us. He teaches us this one great truth, and I want you to remember it. And that truth is that the best of men are still only men at best. The best of men are still only men at best. Man is going to let you down, folks. Somewhere along the line, men will let you down. Listen, I'll let you down. I may let you down at some point. I don't mean to. I don't want to. But you know what? It's going to happen. You're going to probably let me down at some time. And if I focus on that, then buddy, my life is just in a mess. So I don't focus on that. Listen, when somebody lets me down and kind of disappoints me in something, I got to remember the fact, listen, were it not for the grace of God, I could be doing the same thing. And number two, what Pastor always teaches us, that the best of men are still only men at best. And I try to pray for them. But this king had no one to go to. And because the problem that he had, he sought the wisdom from those men who proclaimed everyone his own goodness, and he couldn't find anything there to help him. He was so angry, he said, all right, that's fine. I'll fix the situation. I'm just going to kill you all. And that's basically what he said. He demanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Well, guess what? Even though Daniel was not there, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were not there, this included them. Because the king considered these men on his council. The king considered these men part of his wise men. And all these men that were right there before him, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and all these wise people, they had let him down, and he knew it, and he was just discouraged by all of them. So he's commanded now to kill all of them. And, you know, it's pretty bad when you don't do something wrong, and then yet you're accused of being part of the ones that do wrong. That's part of being in church family sometimes. You have one person that does something bad, and then the whole church is bad, okay? That's not the case, folks. That's not the case. In this lesson today, the one true God of all creation used this occasion to point this pagan king to the one true and living God. You see, God can take the bad things and he can turn them into good things. Amen? He can turn them into good things. And the Bible said that by the time we get down to this lesson, this king is going to make this declaration. He's going to declare that God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords and a revealer of secrets. Those words are going to come from the lips of this king that is right now so furious that he's ready to just kill all these wise men. So I want us to look at this lesson today. And I want you to remember something today. There are going to be situations where you don't know what to do, okay? I had somebody call me on Friday with a situation they didn't know what to do. And man, it's in those situations that we need to go to God. We need to seek God's wisdom. When we don't know what to do, we need to ask somebody that does. And James said this in James chapter 1, verse number 5. James wrote there, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, God doesn't get mad when you come to him and ask him for wisdom. And then he said this, and it shall be given him. If you need the wisdom from God, take time to go to God. Go to him in prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Now, let's look at this lesson today. Folks, I want you to understand, in this lesson today, we're going to see that God honors those who honor him. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Well, right here, we're going to find a faithful man in this man named Daniel. Let's look at it today, okay? I want you to see, number one, Daniel chapter number 2 here. I'm going to turn over there myself. All right, Daniel chapter number 2, the problem of the potentate. All right, that's a big word, okay, but that means the king, okay? The problem of the potentate. If you'll remember when God's chosen people, the Jews, had continued to rebel against God, they had been taken into captivity. We looked at that in the last two Sundays in Daniel chapter number 1. God finally looked at them and said, enough is enough, and he put them into bondage. He brought the king of Babylon, the nation, the armies of Babylon in, and they besieged Jerusalem. Okay? They ransacked the temple of God. They took all the things that were of value, and this pagan king put it in the house of his pagan gods. And when he did that, the whole army of Babylon, everybody in Babylon looked at that and they said, wow, Did the God of the Israelites lose his power or what? And they just mocked God. They made fun of the living, true God. And the children of Israel had brought great shame upon the Lord their God. And folks, listen to me today. Let me remind you something. When we disobey God, when we knowingly disobey and continue to disobey, we dishonor the one that has saved us. You realize that, right? We dishonor him. We bring shame upon him. And we don't need to be doing that. It was a sad day when time after time, again, God gave them warning that he was going to send judgment, that he was going to get their number. You're going to get punished if you don't do right. And yet they chose to disobey God anyway. If you'll remember last week, I believe I went back through the book of 2 Chronicles with you, maybe 2 weeks ago. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 36. I want you to turn back there just a moment. 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. The Bible said in verses 11 through 21 that Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. Now think about it. For 11 years, Zedekiah reigned in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, look at this. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. They brought in all their contemporary stuff. They brought in all their pagan idols and their pagan music and their pagan way of worship. And they brought it into the house of God there in Jerusalem. And they defiled it. They polluted it. It's what the Bible said here. Now look what the Bible said. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. In other words, God had mercy on them and he warned them. He sent his messengers to them. He sent the men of God to them. But look what the Bible said. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose up against his people till there was no remedy. God said, that's it. Enough is enough. I'm not putting up with it anymore. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burned the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Jeremiah had told them, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. You better get your heart right with God. And they refused. So now God put them into a 70 years of bondage, captivity. And now with their seemingly excellent victory over the God of Israel, these pagan armies and this pagan king laughed and mocked the God of Israel and the people of Israel. And they mocked them and called them all kinds of names and thought them to be nothing but just weak little false gods. And folks, that's where we look at this lesson today in chapter number 2. King Nebuchadnezzar now had been reigning over them for 2 years. And God still cared for his people. And I'll be honest with you, God cared for King Nebuchadnezzar. You know, the Bible still tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God wanted this pagan king to be able to know the truth of the Word of God, and to be able to come to know God, the true and living God, just as he was, the true and living God. So we start out here with the problem, this disturbing dream in verses 1 through 3. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, this is Daniel chapter 2 now. Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I've dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. He brings all of these magicians. Now, I don't know how many. King Nebuchadnezzar's reign was vast. He may have had hundreds of these men before him. But he brought them all into his chamber, and he was agitated. He couldn't remember the dream, and he couldn't remember the contents of it. He didn't understand what it meant, but he knew that there was something there, and it disturbed him. So he brought these men to him, and because of this, the Bible said that the king called for his wisest men. He called them to come in and tell him not only what the dream was, but what it meant. The Bible said he called in his magicians, his astrologers, his sorcerers, the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. And when they came into his presence, he may have been still in his nightgown or something, I don't know. He was just all upset. And he's in there pacing back and forth, and just pacing back and forth. And all these men are gathered in front of him saying, yes, O king, how can we help you? And he tells them, man, I've had a bad dream, and I need you to tell me what it was and what it means. So look at what the Bible said. The king said, I've dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. And then in response to the king's request, look at verse number 4. The Bible said, then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. In other words, king, you're the best. Man, we want you to be happy. We want you to live forever. You're the best. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. Now, that wasn't such a bad request, was it? If they thought they had this wisdom, they said, oh, go ahead, king. Give it to us. Tell us what your dream was. We'll tell you what it means. That was the problem. That was the disturbing dream. But I want you to look at the despotic demand that the king gave. Look at this. In the character of a despotic, that simply means he was an authoritarian, all right? He was a tyrannical ruler. And what he said goes. And if you didn't obey him, he'd just cut your head off and find somebody else that would obey him. That's the way he was. So look at verses 5 through 9. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut off. You'll be cut into pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Boy, that was quite a demand. He said, man, the thing's gone from me. I can't remember it. And the guys are probably looking at themselves, one to another, thinking, what are we supposed to do? So the king starts out with the negative command. And he said, listen, bub, if you don't tell me what I've dreamed and tell me the interpretation, I'm going to cut you in pieces. I'll cut you off. I'll burn your houses and make them a dunghill in this city. But then he walks down probably to him and he says, but listen, if you'll just tell me what the dream was and what it meant, man, I'll reward you. I'll give you all sorts of earthly rewards and prizes, and I'll make you famous. I'll make you great in this kingdom. Could it be done? Could it have been done? Not by these guys, it couldn't be. And look what they said to him. The Bible said here, when the king made his request to them, the Bible said that these guys looked at him and said, King, you need to tell us what you dreamed. If you don't tell us, we can't interpret it. Now look what the decree was that the king gave. Look what he said to them. Verses 10 through 13. The Bible said, the Chaldeans answered before the king, and they said, I'd hate to have been the man that said this before the king. He said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler to ask us such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it's a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods. Only the gods have this kind of wisdom, he said, whose dwelling is not with flesh. And when they told him that, look at what the next verse says. For this cause, because they looked at that king and they said, King, there's nobody in the world that would ever make a request of his wisest men as you've made to us. Nobody can know these things except the gods. And because they said that, and they put him on the spot, and they made him look small in front of them, the Bible said, for this cause, the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the men of the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Wow. Can you imagine? Man, that'd be bad. That would be bad. Daniel and his fellow friends weren't even there, and yet they're going to die. Now, these men had no clue what the king had dreamed. Let's face it, they couldn't know. Only God can know those things. And they thought, well, only the gods can tell us, but they didn't know the God that could tell them. That's the thing. So they're sitting out there, and now Daniel has been put on death row, and all of his friends with these other false prophets and teachers and things. And the Bible said, they looked at the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that ask such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it's a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. So hearing all this, he says, that's fine. Then you're going to die. And he commanded it. He snapped his fingers or clapped his hands or whatever he may have done. And he says, kill them all. Well, they start rounding up all the folks. And guess what? The king's command is going to be obeyed. Because if you don't obey the king's command, then you're going to die. So they go out and they start searching. And the Bible tells us here in the next few verses what happens next with Daniel. I want you to see the procedure of this prophet of God. Daniel, the Bible said, made a request. When Arioch came to him and said, Daniel, I need to get you guys together. The king said, you got to die. And Daniel said, what? What have we done wrong? We haven't done anything wrong. Look where the Bible says here, verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Now, I want you to see here what Daniel does in this time of distress. When Daniel heard that he's about to die, what does he do? He turned to God. He turned to God. And he sent a message to the king. And the Bible said here that when he did this, he said, King, we weren't there. I don't know what the situation is, but listen, give me just a few moments, and I'll tell you the interpretation of your dream. And if you look here in verses 17 through 23, the Bible said that Daniel went to God in prayer. And the Bible said, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then what does Daniel do? He makes his request made known unto God. That's why I put that song on the back to remind you, sweet hour of prayer. Look at it again. The words to that song on your bulletin there. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and my wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped that tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Daniel goes to God. And you know what? When Daniel went to God, look what happened. God revealed the king's dream to Daniel. Look at verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Now listen, folks. Daniel knew that none of those godless, pagan, idol worshipers called wise men, Chaldeans, astrologers, sorcerers, all those folks, the magicians, none of those folks knew where to find the answer that the king demanded. But Daniel knew the source of all wisdom. Daniel knew where to go in time of trouble. And folks, if you and I would just learn that we can go to God with anything, amen? With anything, God answers prayer. He hears his children. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. What an exciting time it is when God answers prayer. Amen? When God just answers prayer, and he does it in such a way that you know that nobody but God could do what he's done. Man, what a God. And now after God reveals both the king's dream as well as the meaning of that dream, look what the Bible says beginning in verse number 20. The Bible said, then Daniel blessed the God of Israel. You know what? I think he let out a war whoop and said, woohoo, God has answered my prayer. Amen. I think he just let it fly. Amen. And look, the Bible said, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee, oh, I praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Man, what a revelation from God unto Daniel. Now look at this. Daniel wasn't just simply excited because God had answered his prayer, but God was excited to know that now neither he nor his friends nor even these pagan magicians and sorcerers were going to have to die at the king's command. So what happened next? Look at this. Daniel comes back. He returns to the king. Now, since the captain of the guard, Arioch, had first made his request to the king, Daniel said, Arioch, go back and let him know, man. God's shown it to us. We know what it is. We're gonna be able to tell him. So in verse 24, the Bible said, therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch, he probably grabbed Daniel by the arm, said, come on, boys, come on, come on. Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I found a man of the captains of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. You know what? Arioch had seen the anger of the king. Arioch knew that the king would just do anything just to get even with these wicked pagan astrologers and sorcerers and stuff. But Arioch comes running in and says, oh, hey, king, hey, be favorable to me. Look, I found somebody that can answer your desire. He can interpret your dream for you. And look what the Bible said. Beginning in verse number 26. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name to the king was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation of thereof? How would Daniel answer that question? If somebody came to you and said that, how would you answer that question? Oh, yeah, king, I can do it. I can do it. That is not what Daniel did. Daniel remembered that it was of God. And folks, when God answers prayer, we need to let people know God has done this. Amen? It's not us. It's of God. God has done what he said he would do. And look what the Bible said. Beginning in verse number 27, the Bible tells us that Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king had demanded cannot the wise men and the astrologers and the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king. Boy, I bet that made them feel real good, don't you? He looked at him, he said, boy, these old boys, they can't tell you anything like that. They can't tell you the answer. But Daniel said, but, I love this. I had to get up and walk around my office when I read through this. He said, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? You know what? He was thinking about it. Thinking about his kingdom. What's going to happen to me when I die? What's going to happen if I die? What's going to happen to me and my kingdom and all the things that I've gotten? You know what? Every person in this world one day thinks about dying, don't they? And God knew what was in that man's head. And God sent him a dream. And he said, first off, you need to know who can take care of you. And look what the Bible said. He said, but as for me, Daniel is saying this. He said, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king. Now look at it again. But as for me, talking about Daniel, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Daniel did several things here. Number one, he reminded the kings that his dream could in no way be revealed or be interpreted by any of the king's wise men, astrologers, magicians, or soothsayers. The answer was not found in men. The answer would not be found in men. Folks, the answer to our world's problems today are not in the Republican or Democratic or independent parties. The answer to our problems today are in the Lord Jesus. That's where it all begins. Number two, he explained to the king that even though there were no mortal men upon the earth that could accomplish what he was asking, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Amen. There is a God in heaven, folks, that the world needs to know about. And you and I have to reveal him to them. Number three, look at this. Daniel told the king that God had a plan and that God wanted to reveal that plan to him for the future that lay before him in his reign. You know what, folks? God has a plan. God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for me. God's got a plan for this world. And you know what? We find it through his word. Look at this. The Bible said, thy dream, verses 28 and 29, thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he revealed that secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. You know what Daniel did? He gave all the glory to God. He gave the glory to God. Look at verse 30. He said, king, you're looking at me, but it's not me. He said, but as for me, the secret's not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. He said, I'm just the messenger. I'm just the man of God. But I want you to know that it's for your sake and for their sakes that God wants to reveal this dream unto you. And I want you to notice here, folks, Daniel sought to give all the praise, all the glory, all the honor unto the God that had saved him and not unto himself. Listen, there's no power in us. The power is in God. And Daniel wanted to make that known. He could have boasted. He could have bragged. He could have gotten great things from this king. Anything he'd wanted. But he chose to give God the glory. And you know what God did? God said, you know what? Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? God said, I found one. So I'm going to bless him. Now I want you to go down to verse number 46. We're going to skip a couple verses. These verses I'm skipping right now, we're going to look at next Sunday, okay? Because I don't have time to go into those. But go down to verse 46 of chapter 2. I want you to see the prostration of the king. The king fell before Daniel. He fell prostrate at Daniel's feet. The Bible said, verse 46, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face, and he worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should bring an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king said, that's it. That's my dream. That's the interpretation. Oh, Daniel, Daniel. And he began to worship Daniel. Now, can you imagine that? Good grief. But look at verse 47. Look at the praise for Daniel and his God. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods. I want you to notice that capital G of little g's. He is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Before the very eyes of all those people that were there in that courtyard, in the king's court, this king had been so mighty, so despotic in all that he did. God humbled him, and he fell before the man of God and said, truly, Daniel, your God is a God of gods. He is the Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets. And because of godly influence that Daniel had in his life, because he pointed the king and all the king's court to the true and living God, you know what God did? God said, I'm going to promote this man. I'm going to bless him. And we see the promotions and the things that God did for Daniel and his friends. Look at verses 48 and 49. Then the king made Daniel a great man. The king didn't do that. God did that. Amen. The king thought he did. But the Bible said, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested to the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. You know what? It is such a blessing to know that you are where you are because you're in the will of God. I thought about that this morning as I came to church, and before I came to church this morning, knowing that you're where God wants you to be is the greatest thing in this world to know. I thank God for that fact. Not only does God answer our prayers, but folks, God honors those who wait upon the Lord and who go to Him in time of need and who point others to Him when nobody else has the answers. God blesses those. And because they sought the Lord in His wisdom in time of need, God in turn blessed these four men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, with great promotions. He put them in the king's court. And boy, you know what? All those other fellows out there, here are captives being put in control over them. Boy, I bet they were hot, don't you? Amen? I bet they were upset. Listen, the point of our lesson today is this. It's simply this. When you and I seek the wisdom that only God can give, and when we determine both in our hearts and in our minds that we're going to exalt the Lord instead of exalting man, we're going to give God the glory instead of giving glory to self, we're going to give God all the praise and honor that He deserves, God will always hear our prayer. God will always answer our prayer. And God will receive the glory that He and He alone deserves to receive. That should be our goal. We just need to make up our minds that when times get tough, and they're going to get tough, that we're going to give God the glory. We're going to point folks to Jesus and tell them, listen, it's not this political party, it's not that political party that's going to give you the help that you need. It's the holy God of all creation that you need today. Man, what a God we serve. Amen. Let's thank Him for that today. Father, I love You today. And Lord, thank You so much for this lesson. And Lord, I just want to ask You, God, in a special way, Lord, help us to bring honor and glory to Your name in all that we do. Lord, I want this lesson today to point our dear people to knowing the fact that only You can answer our prayers. And God, when times get tough and desperate things happen and difficult times come in our lives, Lord, we've got a source for the answers that we can go to. We can feel confident about taking our burdens unto You. And I pray, God, today that You'll help us to remember that. And Lord, when we do, then we can show the world that we have a God that is in control of all things. Our God reigns. Thank You, dear Lord, for showing us that today in this lesson. Bless our people now, Lord. If there be anybody that's listening to the sound of My voice that does not yet know You as their own personal Savior, God, we point them to You today. We pray, Lord, You'll convict their hearts, show them their need to be saved, and help them to come to know You even today. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. God bless you, folks. Love you. Thank you for being in class today.